Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Are your alternative to the corporate media's narrative and agenda. There is a lot going on in the news tonight. Start off the show as we do every episode. 551 Americans have been killed by police officers so far in the year 2015. There have been 63 police officers die in the line of duty, and only 16 of those have died by gunfire. In 2015, we have also seen 1,273 people shot in the very strict gun-controlled city of Chicago, Illinois, 221 homicides. Most terrifying stat of that is just in June, just this past month, there have been 282 people shot in Chicago and 49 homicides. Also, Saudi Arabia is still sitting at 100, as best we can tell. I've still been trying to do my research on that for the past week and still don't know if the media has just clamped down on that over there and they're not reporting, or if they have just kind of put a halt to things for right now. Okay, I'm just going to jump to the headlines real quick. There's so much going on. There's another fire going on at a church, Mount Zion, in Williamsburg County in South Carolina tonight. Numerous church fires that have happened in the past couple weeks since the shooting at the church in Charleston. Also, Greece, huge news, has defaulted to the IMF. They're the first developed nation to default on their debt. That is massive news, and we'll see what happens with that. Will Greece get out of the European Union? We'll see. Austria's, their residents are petitioning to get out. We've got a story about that up right now on the antimedia.org. Also, yesterday, huge news. The TPA, or better known as the Fast Track for the TPP, the Trade Promotion Authority, was signed by Barack Obama, and of course, that was passed bipartisan. We've also had the NSA, a secret court came out and ruled that, you know, all the spying Section 215 of the Patriot Act that Rand Paul and a few other people had fought to get rid of, well, that's all back, and we have the Freedom Act on top of it, so things are where they were and a little bit worse. As always, we are joined in the studio with our wonderfully fantastic producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how you doing, sir?
Good evening, Mr. Gibson. I'm doing well. We got quite a bit to talk about tonight. Oh, great.
And, you know, I know the corporate media is really been big on the topic of people marrying their flags this past week. We're going to do our best to avoid the whole...
There's flags and go get married now.
Yeah, that we're gonna avoid people marrying their flags or taking down their marriages or whatever people are talking about. Also, we are joined in the studio tonight by somebody you may recognize his voice. He calls into the show quite a bit. Chase, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, SM. I'm doing really good, man. How are you, man?
I can't complain. Just kind of overwhelmed right now with all the news, but we're going to try to do our best to inform everybody what's going on. You know, I don't even really know where to start with all this. I think, you know, Greece, that's a huge topic.
Greece is the word.
Yeah.
They say.
Yeah. So this isn't John Travolta's Grease. So
no, it's definitely not your mama's Grease either. That's damn sure.
So what do you think about this? I mean, they've officially defaulted. You know, they were trying to save it up to the last minute. There's also something I found quite hilarious on Indiegogo, a crowdfunding campaign to raise $1.6 billion.
Well, you know, you laugh at that, and when the story that's up on Anti-Media right now, in the story when it was posted, it had raised 82,000 euros at that point. We just checked it a minute ago before we got on air, and it is already up to over $500,000 and counting. It actually got so much traffic that it crashed the Indiegogo site. Which is a pretty large, you know, pretty well-respected crowdfunding site. And that's pretty big news. You know, in the story, and I actually love this quote, in the story that's on Anti-Media right now, there was a fellow that sells shoes from London who was quoted as saying, and he had kicked in a few euros himself, and he was quoted as saying that, you know, 1.6 billion sounds like a lot, but if every European, and this is leaving us...
Well, every member of the EU.
Yes, the whole EU, every member of the EU, donated roughly, it translates to American dollars to about, we figured it up, about $3.50 a piece. They could bail...
It's 3 euros, not dollars, but... Right.
Well, no. It was over $3. The conversion rate, it was about around $3.50.
Because it's like what?
$3.25, $3.50 yeah. American, yeah. Or excuse me, yeah. Yeah, it's about $3.50.
$3.33, actually, I think.
Yeah, well, it was over. I mean, you're splitting hairs here. We're trying to save these people's lives, okay?
Well, if we can save Greece, that's...
I don't know why Greece doesn't do what we did and just go ahead and print a bunch of money and just throw it everywhere. I mean, that worked for us.
Well, in a way.
Yeah, we're living here on the high horse.
Things just don't drop a 20 in front of the Pentagon because it will be gone.
Yeah. 8.5 trillion, yep. Just absolutely
gone.
Can't be
gone. I mean, how big does your couch have to be to lose that much money in the cushions?
I've lost a lot of money in the cushions.
I mean, just to kind of put that number into perspective, how big of a couch do you have to have to lose that kind of change? That's a lot of change, my friend.
So there's been huge protests. In Greece all day, in Athens, protesting this whole thing. You know, to me, you haven't really heard it mentioned as much, but me and a friend of mine were talking about this earlier today. Where would the euro be and where would the EU be without Germany right now?
Absolutely.
It would be worthless. And then on the other side of things, where would the Deutschmark, if that was still around, be if it didn't have somebody like Greece bringing down the value of its currency?
Well, and that kind of also spills into some of the things we'll talk about later and are pretty much shifting towards a one-world government.
True, but here's the problem. Yeah. They just had that experiment in Europe with the EU. I mean, they, you know, they tried to bring
and already members are talking about bailing. The citizens are very... Citizens in Austria, you have the citizens of Greece.
Italy.
They got over 200,000 signatures on their petition to remove themselves from the European Union.
So, you know, it hasn't worked out that well, the grand experiment. To me, it's kind of like the same argument as... you have people like Barack Obama come out or Rahm Emanuel come out and say, gun laws work. Look at Chicago. Look at Chicago. We mentioned this at the beginning of every show, how many shootings we've had in that city, and yet you've got people in government saying, but look at this. This is a great experiment. It's working, and it's a train wreck.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what the euro is. You know, the EU has become is, look at this great experiment. It's like it's in flames right now.
Absolutely.
And you want to do this on a global scale?
Absolutely.
The smartest people so far who have sort of experimented with it and have veered away from it, it has to be Iceland. They have been the smartest so far. And they're not even part of the EU.
They've done some, you know, Iceland's definitely, they, you know, a lot of people don't realize.
Well, they had Bjork come and sing a magical spell, a protective spell over the
and people. Sigur Rós as well. Yeah. So, hey.
Thankfully, they were playing in the background.
But, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, is Iceland has one of the strongest economies going right now. They're on the rise. They were told that if they didn't, you know, bail everybody out, they were going to go under. They said, screw that. We're going to have a vote. We're going to send everybody to jail, blah, 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 blah. And look, it worked out for them. Everybody else went the opposite way, and look what's happened.
Yeah.
They're doing pretty good from the last time I checked.
So,
I mean, they're not completely out of the woods yet, but they're in much better shape. And they did it the right way. They actually placed the blame squarely, unlike what America did with our bailout, and just go ahead and print a bunch of cash and throw it everywhere and make sure that all of the people that that screwed us out of our money, not only did they not get jail time, but they all got bonuses. I mean, how does that work? How do I get that job where I can go and completely screw the whole company up and get a raise at the end of the year?
Well, first off, you have to have no soul or morals.
It's about this.
Well, I hope whoever got those bonuses spent them very quickly, because that $2 million or $4 million bonus that they got ain't worth $2 million or $4 million right now.
Well, think about how many of them have quote-unquote committed suicide in the past year, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
we're not bringing up that old chestnut, are we? Yeah.
So, yeah, we had, I mean, even the markets here, where they were just all over the place all day, and it ended up being a little bit ahead. It closed a little into the head at the end of the day, but, you know, everything's in chaos, and Greece is, I don't see there's any way to save it. I don't think anybody sees anywhere to save it, unless crowdfunding does it.
I don't know. I'm really pulling for this crowdfunding thing. I really am. That would be like the hugest win ever, for or the hugest like success story for a crowdfunding.
I mean, it would be
ever.
Similar to Cordell Stewart throwing the ball in Michigan.
And that's not like helping your buddy, like, you know, get an album released or something like that. This is, we're bailing a country out. That's a pretty noble cause. Yeah. Even though it is all for naught, there's a lot more money owed than just that money that they're trying to raise. All they're trying to do is just buy Greece some time.
Oh, and, yeah. You know. But, you know, they were even reporting earlier today that, you know, Greece wasn't going to default, blah, 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 and it was too late to extend the bailout, yada, yada, yada. And when push came to shove, when the time came, you know, it was what it was, because they weren't there to pay at the expiration time. So they're really in gridlock right now. We'll see what happens. This will lead us into the next huge, massive topic, because it does all tie in together. The TPP.
The elephant in the room.
The TTIP. The TPA. Fast track. It doesn't look good for what's about to happen here in this country, and it's absolutely hilarious. I've talked about this at such length, and it's just amazing to me, is all these Republicans have just been like, but Barack Obama has all this power. How dare he have all this power? He's a dictator, blah, 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 whatever.
This was a bipartisan agreement, was it?
It was.
Yeah.
Pretty much so. I mean,
both sides of the same dirty coin, and I guarantee I would love to know where all of the money went, exactly who got what in order to reach this bipartisan agreement.
Money? What?
Oh, man. I want to read every single last little bitty line of this agreement, every single bit, and see who's getting what pork out of this.
Okay.
Because that's the only – I mean, you know – if you want to talk about something that really, I mean, you know, we've discussed, we're going to discuss the NSA spying on you and so on and so forth. That's unnerving within itself. But here's where all the jobs are going, everybody. Everybody's complaining, why is there no jobs here anymore? Because a lot of them, thousands upon thousands of them.
Yeah.
Just got shipped overseas with a stroke of a pen.
I mean, we've already been through this when we heard Ross Perot squealing at the top of his voice in presidential elections about how bad NAFTA was going to be.
Now, all we're hearing about now is how many jobs this is going to create.
No. You know, all this is going to do, in my opinion, is what it's trying to do is it's trying to get the little man away from working for himself and either working for the government or working for the corporations. That's what this agreement is about.
Well, and you know, but the point I was fixing to make, though, it's like taking $500 and going to the casino.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And you come back and tell somebody, you come back broke, but tell them, man, I won $3,000 at the casino. But they don't tell you about the $3,001 that they lost. They came back broke.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing what jobs this is going to create. That's what we're seeing on paper. But we all know. Every single person listening and the people sitting in this room know exactly how many jobs just got shipped out of the country.
That's how the government does everything, though. That's how the government does everything.
We actually, here in Birmingham, we have like a SIPCO and U.S. Pipe and U.S. Steel. With this trade deal,
that are reducing their workforces daily.
We are actually standing to lose. They've been here for 100 years, and we are standing to lose them companies to foreign labor. And it all boils down to exploitation. I mean, just exploiting cheap foreign labor. That's what it boils down to.
Hey, real quick, in defense of our wonderfully fantastic, creates jobs for everybody government, Alabama is. Want to throw this out here is benefiting because we're getting a Google data center.
Freedom Act. Freedom. I told you. It's an act.
We're getting some freedom.
Yeah. Hey, that's bringing jobs here to Alabama. $600 million in revenue. Yeah. Oh, man, all the jobs and all the great things that are going to happen. It's going to be wonderful.
I'm telling you. Let's go ahead and jump into the callers right now. Area code 614. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hello. All right, then.
That'd be all right.
We can't all be winners.
We can't be. But if we lost you, feel free to call back in. But, yeah, so that's happening here. So Alabama's getting a few jobs thanks to Google.
And the reason they're getting those jobs, and we spelled this out a few shows previous, when we were talking about the Act of Freedom, excuse me, the Freedom Act.
Freedom.
It's theater. It's an act.
Yeah.
That right there is a direct byproduct.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure we're in the last act right
now.
Oh, yeah.
The curtain is fixing to come down. It's fixing to come down hard. But what we're seeing with this now is the God, I lost my train of thought. I'm seeing the future coming in here in just a second. I don't know. I'm really
TPP jobs.
I'm really ticked off because again, I predicted this. This is exactly what's going to happen. The workload is now being shifted to collect all this data. It's being shifted to Google. It's being shifted to Verizon, AT&T, AOL, if they're still around.
Facebook.
Y'all don't worry. Your Facebook accounts are safe. You post whatever you want to on Facebook. Nobody's watching that.
Yeah, they're not doing facial recognition now. Even if they can't really see your face, that's a story we had go up.
Yeah, they can see the back of your head now and figure out who you are.
Oh.
How freaking creepy is that, man?
It's pretty terrible.
Well, you know, they can.
To be able to pick you out of, I mean, seriously, just take a partial snapshot of your face and still be able to pick you out from the 800 million Facebook users.
But they got the Google satellites, man.
Shut your Facebook down. Trust me, they still got all the pictures. When you shut your Facebook down, your Facebook is still there. Believe that.
Oh, yeah.
Every single bit of that information has been gleaned. Every single bit of that information has been processed and sifted through and put in the right piles. So all you have to do is say that one thing. Just like, what's the young fellow's name? Dylan Roof.
Yeah.
Dylan Roof had a Facebook page. I don't think it was real, but.
Well, that's a
whole different topic for another show, I guess.
Yeah, buddy. So, I mean, we could sit here and talk about these topics all night, but I stress to everybody, the most important thing is going on right now are the TPP, these trade deals. I know it sounds like such a boring topic, all this trade, all this, it's all this stuff going over my head. It's not, you know, one of the Kardashians or whatever. It, you know, I get that. It's not something we can cling to like some flag or, you know, whatever. This is massively important, and it's going to have a lot to do with the outcome of where we're transitioning to, where your children are going to end up. Are your children going to have jobs one day? What's the economy going to be like?
Or are they going to be competing with inshore, not offshore, inshored labor? That's another question.
Oh, I mean, the way it looks right now, you know, given that the TPP is passed, or the TPA is passed, the fast track, not the TPP itself, but it doesn't look like, you know, there's any stopping it right now, because all the power's in Obama's hands, and, you know, unfortunately, I'm afraid we're gonna look like Greece fairly soon, and it's a miracle we haven't already.
I don't know why Greece, again, just doesn't print a bunch of money. I mean, it's easy to do. You get your little printing press out. They've already got, like, the dollars. You get you a good Xerox or something like that. Go ahead and put it in the Xerox and scan it. Flip it over to the other side and just print your own money. I mean, it's real easy to do. They can get in touch with the Obama administration. They'll hook them up with it. There's still some
somebody there's got a November Nonkey. No, they got no
Don't
Janie
ask
Ellen.
Dick Cheney, because Dick Cheney ain't saying shit.
Okay, so we go on about this all night. I really wanted to hit on this. This is something that hasn't been covered really that I've seen anywhere. There's been some protests going on in Afghanistan the past couple of days. Basically what happened was some American forces raided a village, and there was a local guy that lived there that had a bunch of weapons and blah, 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 blah. They came in there.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. They came in there. They raided it. Like, you know, we've heard them doing, okay, everybody's saying, okay, big deal. What is, you know, that's what our troops are over there for. They're doing this. Well, what people fail to remember is that supposedly our troops aren't engaging in combat missions anymore over there. That's what we've been told.
No, we pulled out of Afghanistan.
We've been told we're there on advisory positions and we're not engaging in combat missions, and now wait, this happens.
We're helping.
Yeah, so, you know, you see what they say, and they say we're just there. We're just hanging out.
That's all we were doing.
We're hanging out.
We noticed this guy over there, and he had this building, and there might have been some guns in there. We just went over there to see what was going on. No big deal, guy. You need a nap.
Right. So, but it's just another example of how we're lied to about everything.
Even shit that ain't even worth lying about. Just go ahead and be honest.
We know there's
troops
over there.
We're going to stay in Afghanistan for as long as we want to. Now go screw off.
I mean, that's one thing that I've always said about Dick Cheney. As much as evil as I think that man was, he didn't care about lying to you at the end of the day. At the end of the day, he was like, yep, we did what we did. I wouldn't change a thing, and I'd go bomb them again. It's like, wow, you're an evil, terrible man. But you know what? At least you're upfront with me.
Yeah.
He made a bunch of money off the old deal, so, I mean, come on, man.
He's still making money
off
the old deal. Let's go and get it straight now.
Yeah.
You want to talk about printing money?
At least it's like at least Dick Cheney's honest about how evil he is.
Yeah. He fully supports.
But then you get somebody like you get Obama in there. I mean, you know, you're screwed either way you go, and there's no right answer because nobody wants another Dick Cheney in power. Nobody wants that. But you get somebody like Obama, who won his Nobel Peace Prize. You get John Kerry, who's throwing medals, you know, over the fence. He's protesting against the war back in the day, Vietnam, and then look at him now, Secretary of State, whatever, do what we want. President of the United States, whatever, do what we want. We're not engaging in missions. Whoops, yep. Sorry, yeah, we were whole time. Didn't mean that. Drone strikes, children dead. Don't know what you're talking about. People getting tortured. Yeah, we may torture some folks. This is a Nobel Peace Prize winning president. Area code 361, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
I'm calling from Texas.
Fantastic. What would you like to talk about?
The presidents. Let's talk about the presidents.
Let's do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So what do you think is going to be elected for the presidents?
I believe the next president's more than likely, I say more than likely, the next president is going to be Republican, and it's probably going to be between Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush.
I think Jeb Bush. I'm pretty sure it's Jeb Bush.
Yeah, let's hope not. Let's hope we're all wrong on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had Chris Christie announced today, which is absolutely hilarious. We've got Donald Trump getting fired from NBC.
Screw all that. Killer Mike endorsed Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah,
Killer Mike is the man. Gets mad love.
He was the man until he endorsed Bernie Sanders.
Okay. I know you don't like Bernie. Bernie is the most palatable choice out of all of them for me right now, which clearly means he's not going to win.
I
think that goes without saying. But he does have Killer Mike's endorsement.
I'll give him.
And I'm pretty. I think as a running mate, Wiz Khalifa.
No, what's the guy running?
Black and yellow.
What's the Waka Flocka dude? He's running.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Bernie can pick him up.
And either one.
I mean, he's not old enough to run, but whatever.
I say we make both Wiz Khalifa and Waka Flocka Flame co-vice presidents. Would that not be the coolest ticket ever, man?
I mean, chances are I'm going to end up moving to Canada or Iceland anyway, so what do I care? I watch it go down in flames from afar.
Killer Mike could be the hype man for the show. Man, I'm digging this. This is probably the best.
So where y'all from?
We're coming out of Birmingham.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah.
Alabama. That's nice.
Alabama.
Yeah, that place.
Represent. Roll Tide. Oh, I'm sorry. You're from Texas. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. I'm from Texas.
Well, thanks. I tell you what, thank you so much for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. So, speaking of presidents, Chris Christie did jump in.
Whoopie damn dude.
Yeah, it's kind of my thought. I want to be more excited about
it. He's got balls. I'd give you that. I mean, I absolutely detest the man, but he does have balls.
Well, we just got to explain how Dick Cheney did, too. And what did that do for anybody?
No, but Dick Cheney had something a lot worse than balls. Dick Cheney had no heart.
He didn't.
I know we brought that up, and I bring that up ad nauseum. It's just the creepiest thing to me.
It is a bit bizarre.
Considering who we're talking about, that is the creepiest thing ever. I'm sorry. Forget Zero Dark Thirty. That right there is a Hollywood blockbuster.
They're going to get their boy Rubio in there. Just so people understand that Rubio hired people on his staff that also worked with Dick Cheney. Jeb Bush in the state of Florida as governor helped Rubio get elected to his first positions in the state of Florida and in the state as a representative. So please, please, please understand that Marco Rubio is just a younger, tanner version of the Bushes.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people seem to have this belief that Rubio, you know, he straddles some libertarian line. He doesn't do – there's nothing of the sort with the guy. I mean, we're sitting here going on about the fast tracker. Well, guess who voted for it? Hey. Rubio.
Hey, which Rubio? You know about Marco? No.
Yeah. Nobody wants to pay attention. They somehow, because of his fancy haircut and his parents, you know, lived in Cuba, that, he must be telling the truth.
Desi Arnaz was from Cuba.
I'd vote for Desi Arnaz.
Oh, absolutely.
You get me Ricky Ricardo, I'll vote for him.
His Marco stance Rubio. On women's rights is a little shaky. Remember, he spanked Lucy.
Hey, Lucy was successful.
Well, she did kind of have it coming, too. So.
She was successful for herself. Lucy did her thing.
She did all right.
But Marco Rubio, whatever, he's a joke. Another story that has kind of been overlooked amidst all the nonsense going on is that a former federal judge has pretty much gone off on the drug war, and I mean, this was her job basically, was to incarcerate people for the drug war. And she talks about that we're basically, it's the aftermath of World War II. It's a failure. She said she handed down over 500 sanctions during her tenure. Most of those were unjustified. She says she believes that 80% of the people, or percentage-wise, were unfair and disproportionate. And that's what we're dealing with the drug war, which we go on about that, again, ad nauseum. And that's the thing. We sit here and we talk about this stuff on and on and on, and yet we don't see the effects because of the influence of mainstream culture and mainstream media.
Let me reel this in just for a second, because I'm going to try to keep the terms kind of general for half a second. We have here in Jefferson County in Alabama, and in our neighboring county, Shelby County, we have what's referred to as drug court. Drug court is supposed to be it's supposed to actually help instead of actually incarcerate people. There's jail involved, but it's kind of in jail, come out, get a little treatment, you know, work release, kind of, there's all sorts of different elements to it. Drug court, pretty much by the admission of some former judges and lawyers here in our part of the state, it's pretty much a money racket. Let me explain something to you. Okay, you go stand before the judge at drug court. You get popped for, let's say, you get popped for a couple prescription pills in your possession that you have no prescription for. So you get sent in, you either face a felony, go ahead and plead guilty and face a felony and all of the minimum sideline or sentencing guidelines that are associated with that felony, which suck, and plus a felony on your record, try getting a job after that. Or you can go through drug court. Now, drug court, right off the bat, has a fee, and they'll give you a fine, a big fine, that you have to pay all at once. And then, as you go through drug court, there's these other auxiliary fees that you have to pay. A friend of mine got swept up in it. Was doing something she shouldn't have been doing, got caught with something she shouldn't have had, and went through there, was facing a felony for what she had, and a couple of the other girls that had been going through drug court kind of warned her right off the bat that, hey, when you go in there, you're going to get a dilute. Just go ahead and be forewarned. A dilute, what is that? Well, apparently that's if you go to try to take your drug test, which is a urinalysis, you take your drug test and they see too much water, too much, you know, not enough proteins in it to be able to get a test, then they give you what's called a dilute. Well, their guidelines for the dilute are so strict that it's almost guaranteed, unprepared with this document, this like big long list of information of stuff you have to drink and eat and stuff, and all of this other regimen you have to go through, you're going to get a dilute. So what they do is, if you get a dilute at your court date, or you're given it, and you don't even know you've given it until you go to your court date, you get a dilute, well, then you get put in jail for 24 hours, and you get tacked an extra $85 on your total court fines. Now, when every single person that comes through there gets a dilute in 1 week, that should raise a red flag to somebody right off the bat. Number two, more importantly, most of the people that comprise this drug court, the defendants that are on the drug court, are very poor, indigent people. So a lot of them get caught up, and there are other articles, you can Google them, other articles about Shelby County and their probation system that they've used for outside, they've used an outside company to do their probation services, and the money trap that is, it's almost like in a payday line. There's no way to get out of it unless you're constantly shoveling money in, and the right exact money in, and you jump through every single small little tiny hoop, you're going to be paying a fortune.
Here's the thing that's terrifying about that, because we've talked about it.
How's that helping anybody?
It's helping the state collect money, what it's doing, and it's certainly not there to help any person that's they're supposedly there to be helping, or to help rehabilitate, as they say. But I know the same thing has happened in Texas. My in-laws are in Texas, and my mother-in-law had to take a drug test for something. She's never done drugs in her life. Same exact thing happened. She come up with a dilute and has to pay money for it. So
they go get an additional tab to try to pay more money.
Right. So they can just literally, I mean, it's similar. It's way worse, but it's similar to the whole seatbelt law thing, saying, well, you weren't doing it, so we can just guess. We can just guess you can have it on. I get you got it on once you pulled you over, but we know you didn't have it before we pulled you over. They can just do whatever they want. And they can just sit here and say, well, it's a dilute, so we can take your, just give us your money now. And if you don't give us your money, things are going to be worse for you.
Well, that's what, it's a racket.
That's 100% what it is.
Yeah, it's a racket. That's what it is. And particularly here in Alabama, I mean, nobody, no state, or nobody has any money anymore, particularly. And this is something I do want to bring up. It's like the thing with Greece. Nobody has any money anymore. And this is what I'm trying to tell people. The state, the Fed, they're all hurting for money at this point in history. All of them.
Well, the people that are really hurting, that's not entirely true.
Yeah, but
because
at
the
same time, they hurting?
The people at the top have money. It's people like us, the people at the bottom.
But that's the point. We're expected to pay for everything.
Not only that, but I mean, it's never ending. I mean, again,
exactly.
Shovel more money into it. Well, great. We're going to go ahead and create more jobs that we need more money for. We don't need it. Was this our founding fathers' intent when they founded this country? For us to have 18 people that we have to go see when we go to get a tag or go get a marriage license. Let me not talk about that one. Let me go ahead and leave that one off the table. We're not talking about marriages tonight.
There's something I want to bring up.
No marriages or flags.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any mention either.
Flags getting married? Yeah.
Nope.
There's something I want to bring up. Everybody knows that me and Shannon, we actually work as plumbers. I actually went on a job, I would say probably about 6, maybe 7 months ago. And I actually, I'm a state trooper. We went to a state trooper who's actually a friends of the family. Actually told us that here in Alabama particularly, it's in the Alabama Constitution that the... tickets and stuff like that. It's like a speeding ticket here in Alabama is the same as it was in 1952, I think. And I think of a speeding ticket here in Alabama is like, in our Constitution, it's set at like, I think it's like at $25. But what's crazy is over the years they have amended it. It's still like $25, but they have amended it to where it's like when it gets up to like $200 or $100, whatever it is right now, all that extra money is actually going to paying the DA and the judges. That it goes into their pockets directly.
Judges
here in Alabama.
That happens everywhere, though. That happens everywhere.
I mean, it's insane, man.
Yeah, judges must make good money. I mean, they're getting all that money from throwing kids into private jails.
Actually, they do make good money.
Yeah, I know.
I know the ones in the area do, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, if that's a story we've reported on at length here.
Do you have a lake house?
I personally do not have a lake house.
Several of the judges that I've known...
But they're serving the community.
I mean, I'm not down on anybody that's got a lake house. Hey, I'm more for you. But a public servant with a lake house, that's a bank right there, man. Think about it. A boat.
Well, hey, look, did you ever watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Did they have a boat?
What was Uncle Phil? A judge.
They have a boat.
They lived in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that is true.
Uncle Phil was on the tape just like every judge in this country.
Kickbacks from Jazzy Jeff.
I'm telling you. But that's what's wrong. I mean, we're sitting here, we've got the private prison industry running everything. We've got the value of the dollar, which is completely worthless. I don't know if y'all saw this video the other day that was going around, a Mark Dice video. He was walking around saying, you want these 4 or 5 quarters or whatever. Or do you want the minimum wage, $7.25? And everybody's like, I want the minimum wage. And I'm like, sure, I don't want these quarters. They were all, you know, prior to 1964, so they actually had silver in them. And so prior to 1964, I think the value of those quarters was worth like $15 or something. So it goes to show you the complete deflation of our currency and why nothing's worth anything. And it goes back to all my ramblings about Nixon and all my ramblings about 1913.
Well, I mean, I don't understand why you're worried about this because, you know, again, you can always just print more money and just throw it around everywhere and
so
the economy's fixed. Game over, man. It's fixed. No problem.
It's not really fixed.
Hewlett-Packard.
Hewlett-Packard's
going to save everything.
Yeah.
The dollar becomes even less valuable, though.
Xerox.
Yeah, that's Kinko's. Yeah. Kinko's for president. Kinko's is running the day.
Yeah.
Janet Yellen sponsored by the FedEx store.
What was that one on the Chappelle show? Pop copy.
Yeah. Pop copy.
But everybody.
I am the manager, yo. Yeah.
But see, everybody wants to. Nobody wants to fix the problem. Everybody thinks there's a Band-Aid. And everybody thinks that, okay, well, we can do this one thing and it's going to fix it. Or we can do this one thing and it's going to fix it. What? And nobody wants to address the root of these problems ever.
It just medicates it. It doesn't fix the problem.
Right. And look what medication does in this country. You know, you put all these people on psychotropic drugs and they go out shooting and murdering people because they are lunatics. And that's exactly what's happening here. You got a bunch of lunatics force-feeding medicine into the economy and it's making everything worse. You know, these medications aren't helping people and the remedies to help the economy is not working at all, period. It hasn't worked. Everything's gotten much, much worse, and yet people still keep voting these people into office like they believe there's a solution for it. Well, this guy's saying something, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? The last guy didn't do anything. The guy before that didn't do anything. The guy before that didn't do anything.
And we're voting. They're not. But we place these politicians on this big, giant, huge pedestal. And they're actually employees. We employ them just like we employ the police officers that keep shooting at us all the time. They're employees. And we need to start thinking in those terms. Well, and we need to start looking, and all of us individually need to start looking harder at who we're employing to do the business of the United States.
We don't need celebrity politicians. We need citizen politicians.
Well, those days are over. I would love, that sounds like a wonderful fantasy world, but that doesn't happen anymore. What people need to, we need to start facing the reality of the situation and stop saying, I wish things were like this. I wish Eisenhower was president again. I wish Kennedy was president. Look, those days
are
over.
Let's bring back Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, that's what people say. We have to stop living in this delusion, in this past, because that's over with. We have to accept that. Because
how's that trickle feel right now, y'all? Trickle down economics.
Until we accept that all those days are over with, all those people are dead, all those ideas that you clung on to from 100 years ago, whatever it may be, that all is non-existent. We have to look at the way things are right now. We have to stare it in the face and we say, how do we address this? Because you know what? If I'm standing there, standing across from Mike Tyson and he's looking me in the eye and we're standing in the ring, I'm not going to sit there and think about this guy I fought in the fifth grade. I would need to have to realize I'm standing in front of Mike Tyson and if I don't address this issue, I'm going to get knocked out instead of pretending, well, I beat a guy up in the fifth grade. And that's what we're doing. That's what this country's doing. They're pretending things are like they were when you're in elementary school, and that's just not the way things are. And until we address these issues, we are screwed. We're putting our head in the sand. We keep thinking that all this junk is going to fix stuff, and none of it is. You're sitting here talking about how the politicians and the president especially, the senators, congressmen, that we're their bosses. Technically, you know what? You're right, but let's get real for a second. Are we? Where are they getting the majority of their money from? They're sponsored by corporations, okay, especially the President of the United States.
Well, now, if we go back and look at that number that we listed a couple weeks ago, about where a lot of that money, that bailout money, or excuse me, the corporate subsidy money comes from, it comes out of our tax money that we pay to the government. So we're propping them up, too. It's our money that's being used right now.
Exactly. Exactly. The taxpayer. Eventually, the shit's going to hit the fan, man.
Well, you know, however it does, I don't know. What people need to realize is they need to wake up. They need to stop living in some alternate reality. They need to stop living their delusions. And they need to stop being completely absent-minded and weak-willed. And they need to stand up and say, this is what's happening. There's a reason that Barack Obama came in, you know, with single-digit million dollars, whatever he had, He's making what, $400,000 or $500,000 a year, and he's got over $20 million now. I mean, you know, that's not an accident, people. And I understand there's people, there's a lot more people in this country have a lot more than $20 million, but you know, blind trust, really, that's pretty lucky.
Well, look at the TPP and all that shit. I mean, come on, that is all the product of corporate lobbying. We all know that. We're not all.
That's all anything is. What isn't corporate lobbying? Everybody wants to talk about Obamacare. What do you think Obamacare was? Corporate lobbying. I mean, and it's sold to you in the complete opposite manner of what it's given to you. They sit there and tell you that the insurance companies, this is going to hurt the insurance companies, everybody. This is going to hurt the insurance companies. The insurance companies are horrible. And I think everybody can sit there and go, the insurance companies are bad. And I think we can all agree on that. And so we're going to get them past this bill. And then you find out, now you have to buy their product. It's like, what?
It's like you have to say,
this is what you
have
just,
to buy their product.
Right. Yeah.
Have to.
It's just like WIC. And it is crazy. Is you got a lot of people that are very anti-corporate that rally for a lot of these socialist policies. It's insane because if you look at programs like WIC, there's a lot of corporations that make our food that is on WIC, and it's just these certain corporations. They give you like a little list. For any of our listeners that are listening, if anybody's on WIC or if you ever get on WIC, just look at the list of corporations. I mean, it's not coincidence that those same corporations are on that list.
And that donate millions and millions and possibly even billions of dollars to our government that's bought and paid for by the corporate.
Because people don't think of it like that. If you're on that exclusive list, and your product has to be bought. It's the exact same thing with the
insurance.
Funny
how that works.
And at the same time, I have no problem with my tax dollars helping my neighbor out. I don't have a problem with that at all. But at the same time, these corporations have jumped in and taken everything out, taken everything over, and you're not getting what you're told you're getting at all.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know how many times I've said the phrase, everything is an illusion. Well, everything is an illusion. Everybody thinks that they're seeing one thing, and that's not what you're getting whatsoever with anything. When was the last time any administration in the past 20 years has said, we're going to do this great thing, and then they went and did this great thing. And there wasn't strings attached.
That's it.
Now, wait a minute. We did go back to war with Iraq. That was pretty cool. I
mean, we did.
We got Saddam Hussein once and for all.
I guess.
That was awesome.
I guess if I would have had stock in Halliburton, I wouldn't be complaining so much.
Yeah.
But,
Halliburton made, what, like $40 billion?
Something. Oh, that was coincidence.
Yeah. It wasn't planned that way or anything.
No, it wasn't. No. But we've got the entire situation that's not going away overseas. We've got our massive own problems here that nobody wants to deal with. We're discussing bailing out this person or that person, and meanwhile, Detroit's whatever, they're gone. It's the greatest people I've ever met in my life are from Detroit. Nobody cares about that town. Nobody cares about that city.
All it out. That's that really right there is the American dream, the full circle American dream.
It absolutely is.
I mean, because Detroit at one point in time, when cars got 8 to 9 miles per gallon, was definitely one of the largest cities in America. And now their population is down to what?
It's low.
A fifth, maybe a tenth of the height of their their weight in Detroit.
Detroit is probably where Birmingham was 10 years ago. Because I will say, Birmingham wasn't doing so great there for
Birmingham. I know. Detroit, I would say probably still about 30 years ago. Birmingham 30 years ago, or over 30 years ago, when we first moved down here, was a ghost town. The steel mill had just about.
There's
all
still
of it
people.
Shut
down. There's right, here's right, the right, thing. Right. Here's the thing. I spent some time in Detroit. There's still people there in Detroit. And that's the difference. You would go downtown to Birmingham, 10 years ago, and there was nobody down there. It was a ghost town. That's not really the case. There's still people there. It's just they've just all been left to fend for themselves.
Absolutely.
It's going to have its renaissance. Don't worry. Birmingham had its renaissance. It's going to have its renaissance.
And again, some of the decisions that the local lawmakers have taken up there in the city of Detroit and some of their neighboring cities as far as, you know, making designated green spaces where there used to be a bunch of abandoned houses and things like that, basically condensing their city is a wonderful start. But at the same time, we're sending so much money overseas to other foreign interests that are keeping the rich people richer here,
right,
in America.
Right.
And we've,
right,
totally neglected what's going on with our own people in our own backyard.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, they try to convince you we're taking care of these people.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how a lot of these policies are sold. We're taking care of our neighbor. We're taking care of our neighbor. Is that really true? Is that what we're doing? Because that's not what it appears that we're doing.
Yeah.
You say we're doing that, but we're not. It's like you're talking about how they lie about the numbers and they say, well, we've added 200,000 private sector jobs this year. So look what we did. They fail to mention they've lost 400,000 private sector jobs.
Like, just like what we said a moment ago about going to the casino.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I hit a lick at the casino this weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, can I borrow $5?
Yeah. And that's how they sell all their numbers. That's how they sell everything they do. Again, it's like watching C-SPAN and watching politicians work is equivalent to watching a David Blaine special.
Yeah.
It's like you just got to watch his other hand and see what he's doing, because,
and there's a lot of big grandiose words and terms and gestures and hairspray. Gosh, it's a hairspray. And and again, that's exactly what it is. A lot of smoke and mirrors. You can watch C-SPAN all you want to. You can watch CNN, Fox, whatever the case may be. Try to pick this threat apart, or try to pick that threat apart. But ultimately, you're not going to know the truth until the checks have already been cashed, the money's already been spread around. As an old fellow I used to know used to say, "Eight drank, pissed, shit, and float down the river now."
Right.
And that's it. Then we find out. Then the report comes out. Oh, well, they did what? Long after the fact, long after everybody's gotten their money and gotten paid off, and it's already been screwed. We've already been screwed, and we find out about it long after the fact.
Look at Iraq. That's a perfect example of that. Look at Obamacare.
It's like waking up one day and you're 8 months pregnant. It's like, gee, what happened?
Think about the huge struggle we had with Obamacare, okay? And everybody's like, this is the greatest thing ever. And these Republicans, they just hate this, you know.
I will say we're in the golden years with that.
And I'm definitely not defending Republicans in this argument, but I'm, you know, there was definitely a line of the conservative right saying Obamacare was terrible. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be great. Don't worry about it. It's going to be wonderful. And they get the thing up, and they had all this money was spent, you know, all these years prepared, and it's like they can't get the website to work for 3 months.
You know what pisses me off about Obamacare, since we're on that subject really quick, is the fact that, yeah, Republicans had plenty to say about it, but see, the thing is that the Obamacare, the bill that we got stuck with, not only had Obama's name all over, but every single one of the Republican senators that grudgingly, in front of the cameras, signed off on it once they received the requisite amount of support for it to say.
Of course.
Because was that the original bill that Obama originally put up there? Oh, hell no. That thing was sliced
and
added.
Christmas tree
Pelosi,
bill.
God, are you going to bring that woman into this?
As Pelosi said, who knows? We gotta pass it to find out what's in it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Don't worry about it.
Why don't we do that with everything?
Like the Patriot Act.
Well,
like,
I mean, why don't you just go
great
ahead?
Great idea, Nancy.
Why don't you just go ahead and buy a house without reading all that just silly fine print? Don't worry about all that.
You like this house?
Yeah.
Is that the house you want to live in?
The floor doesn't look like it's going to fall. Don't step right there, but it doesn't look like it's going to fall.
Just sign this paper.
Yeah, just sign it right now.
Right.
Well, it could be yours. Take this house now.
Do you want the house? You don't need to go in the house.
I mean, if you don't want the house, let me know, because I got somebody
right
over here wants the
and
house.
And that's what they do.
Yeah.
And the rumor, just so I don't, and who knows, but so the rumor goes is Rubio did the same thing on the TPA last week. He didn't read it. He was just kind of like, whatever. And, of course, he voted for it. Whether he read it or he didn't read it, he still voted for it.
Because he was going to get what he wanted out of it, just
of
like
course
all the other senators
he's
voted
Bush
for it.
Right.
Bipartisan.
Right.
But, look.
He's a swarthy Bush.
We have a lot of people in here that will say, well, I hate the Republicans, or I hate the Democrats, or this, that, and the other. Yeah, you need to hate them both.
Yeah.
Because it's two sides of the same filthy coin.
Amen.
And every single person
Amen
that voted for it, even the ones that didn't vote for it, are going to get something out of it
Amen
by the time it's all said and done.
Amen.
And the people that don't are going to get put out of office.
Yeah.
Unless. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they're all going to make their money off of it. They don't give a damn, man, because they're going to get their little lake house and all that shit. They're not thinking.
Yeah, they're playing.
And
they're,
this
they're,
is the thing I'm trying to.
They're playing a long game. Lake house ain't in their cards.
Let me tell you this, and this is something I'm trying to get through people's heads to any of our listeners, whatever. People aren't, politicians are not thinking about tomorrow. They're not thinking about 30, 40, 50 years now after they're dead. They're thinking about that. Well, they are, but they're not thinking about your children.
No, they're not thinking about you.
They are thinking.
You're thinking completely off. They're thinking about 30 years down the road. They just ain't thinking
about
you.
When they're sitting at the lake house, making all of that money that they had amassed, quietly passing this bill.
They're playing along.
But this is the point I'm making, though. They're not even thinking about 100 years from now. They're thinking about the money that they're putting in their pocket.
They're thinking
when the shit hits the fan and you're suffering, they're gonna be living large,
they're
man.
Thinking about legacy. They're thinking about being complete sociopaths, which is what they are. They're just not thinking about you. They are definitely thinking in the future. They're definitely playing a long game, and they're definitely thinking about their children and grandchildren, maybe. Who knows? Let's look at Warren Buffett's did to his grandkids. But they're not thinking about everyday people, period. They don't care what you get. They want things to look good enough. They want to appease people just enough to keep them voting for them. You know, things like the Bushes, those are exceptions. We don't have most people getting in there, and it's their son, their daughter, whatever, going on and on for legacies forever. We've seen it with the Rutgers a little bit. As far as politics go, they've been around forever. But the Bushes have done it. The Clintons are apparently trying to do it. The Kennedys did it. But, you know, when was the last time that Kennedy had real power? Ted Kennedy's been dead for quite a few years now. So these things run their course. We're just right in the middle of one with the Bushes right now, and apparently with the Clintons, too.
Yeah, it's just like the good old days.
Well, I mean, look at it. This is a good example. Look at Woodrow Wilson. Do you think Woodrow Wilson would have rallied so hard for the Federal Reserve for that agreement in 1913 if he known we would be where we are now in 2015?
Maybe. Who knows? Who cares? Because here's the thing. Even though you're 100% right, this is the thing with the mass people out there listening. They hear you say the name Woodrow Wilson. Most people hear that name and go, who cares? I wasn't alive. What did Tom Brady do today?
But
that's the world we live in. So people need to recognize, you know, learn your history. And what Chase is saying is 1,000% correct about Woodrow Wilson in 1913 and the IRS and Federal Reserve. But look at the people in front of you today.
Exactly.
That is what's so important. And pay attention. Don't pay attention to the rhetoric. We get it. Everybody has nice rhetoric. Listen, Bill Clinton may have been the greatest politician that ever lived as far as being a retail store politician and could kiss babies better than anybody. But that doesn't mean that he was some, you know, great, fantastic leader. He drilled us in this country like every other president's done since I don't know when. So you've got to ignore the rhetoric. You've got to get past the sheen and the shine of the candidate and look at them for what they are. And that's what scares me about Rubio is they're really glossing him over like he's fantastic. I don't think there's too much you can salvage from Hillary at this point. I don't think maybe you can maybe, you know, from a PR standpoint, they can try to salvage Jeb. They have to be some brilliant Hugh Grant type of PR people. If anybody remembers that story, if that's not too far in the past. But I tell you what, we got a couple minutes here left in the show. Chase, you got any parting words for us before we head out?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on once again, man. It's been great, man.
Jan and Taylor.
Oh, man, I just... It's going to be better, y'all. It's definitely going to be better. Love will tear us apart.
We'll be back Thursday. Join Nick tomorrow night on Anti-Media Radio. We will see you on Thursday. SM Gibson out.
Peace. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.